A reading from the book of Exodus. In those days, in their thirst for water, the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "Why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here of thirst with our children and our livestock?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? A little more, and they will stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go over there in front of the people, along with some of the elders of Israel, holding in your hand as you go the staff with which you struck the river. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock in Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will flow from it for the people to drink." This Moses did in the presence of the elders of Israel. The place was called Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled there and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord in our midst or not?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Harden not your hearts.
Come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us acclaim the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us joyfully sing psalms to him.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord who made us, for he is our God, and we are the people he shepherds, the flock he guides.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Oh, that today you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massah in the desert, where your fathers tempted me. They tested me, though they had seen my works.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For Christ, while we were still helpless, died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person, one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
To you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Praise to you, Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you a living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still, no one said, What are you looking for, or why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified, that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word. For we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The Gospel of the Lord. Today, on this third Sunday of Lent, we are presented with probably one of the most beautiful passages in the scripture recounting an experience of conversion, the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus, we're told, wearied from the journey, he's tired, he's thirsty, but he's not this thirsty for what's in that well. He's thirsting for the love that this woman has the capacity to express. And so he has strategically set himself at this well, awaiting her arrival. We're told it's at the noon hour. This is the height of the day. The Gospel of St. John, we will be hearing from now until the end of the season of Lent. It would give way to the holiest week of the year, the week that changed the world. But we are hearing now from that gospel which soars like the eagle, the high theology, and yet it speaks so powerfully as to the significance of the sacraments that Jesus has instituted for the life of the world. And so we have it. Jesus speaks to this woman, "Give me something to drink. Give me a drink." The woman is startled, and rightly so. As we know, Samaritans and Jews hold nothing in common. It's a very tenuous relationship at best. In fact, Jews would have rather go across the Jordan River than to pass through Samaria. But Jesus has deliberately gone through Samaria. And it's for the reason he came: to draw all to himself, but particularly to reunify the tribes of Israel that have been scattered. And that's one thing that we find will be significant in this dialogue with Jesus. Whenever God requests something of you and me, it is always because he has something more he intends to give us. And this woman is ripe for the occasion. For the fact that she's at the well at 12 noon in itself speaks of her being somewhat of an outcast from her community. Women did not draw water at the heat of the day. They either went in the early hours of the morning or in the evening shade, but never at the noon hour. So as we hear this dialogue unfold, Jesus begins to probe. He begins to probe, and he asks her, "If you knew the gift of God, then you would be asking me for a drink, and you would receive that which will never run dry. A living stream will spring up within you." Well, this is intriguing to her. And notice, "Give me this drink." She's looking to grasp at what cannot be grasped, if it is truly to be received. The gift of God is grace, namely, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we hear St. Paul reference in his reading today. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured into our hearts. And so when she asks for this, Jesus then says, "Go first, get your husband." I don't have a husband." "You're right. You've said the truth. In fact, you've had five, and the one you're with now is not your husband." Well, now he's too close for comfort. So what happens? She does what everybody does. When somebody starts getting into an area that we don't want to go, she changes the subject. She speaks about worship. Where is true worship of God to be done? Because that is the full pour, that is the full reason for why God created human beings. He has created us to worship him, the one true God. And if we are familiar with the history of the people of Israel, remember, the kingdom became divided. Two tribes in the south, 10 in the north. And the ones in the north were victim of foreign countries settling there. And with those subsequent foreign nations, they came also with their false gods. The Israelites began to mingle with them, interacting, having relations, and this is where the problems began to settle in. So when Jesus is speaking to this woman as he is, and at the location of a water well, biblically, this is significant because it was at water wells that the trysting would take place. This is where men would oftentimes seek out a bride. Remember, the servant of Abraham went in search of a spouse for his son Isaac. He would retrieve Rebekah. It was Jacob who, we're told, dug this very well. He would discover his wife Rachel at the well. So now Jesus aligns himself, presents himself as the bridegroom. And when he makes reference to her husband and so forth as he does, she then comes to realize after he discloses to her the true nature of the reality of worshiping God, which is in spirit and in truth, she is now very much aware that Jesus is someone significant, and she then goes to ask about the Messiah is supposed to come. When he comes, he's supposed to tell us everything. And then Jesus, for the very first time in the gospel, explicitly discloses his identity as that one. I am he, the one who is speaking with you now. Wow. She was overwhelmed and overjoyed to the point that she leaves the water jar and goes back into the town exclaiming, I have found the man who has told me everything I have done. Do you think he could be the Messiah? That's all she said. And we're told that many came to believe based on that word. But do you think it was simply that word which was significant enough to bring them to belief? Absolutely not. These people knew this woman. Just like we know one another in our community, we know each other. They knew her plight. And when she returned without the water jar that she went out with, they saw something more in her. She was transformed. This woman was light. She was without burden. She was free. And she was making a declaration that caught their full attention. And so they came with her to meet Jesus. And when hearing the word of Jesus, they even said, we no longer believe because of what you've told us. We have heard for ourselves, and we now know he is truly the Savior of the world, the gift of God. What indeed is it? What is this life-giving stream? What is this worship of God, which is done in spirit and in truth, that he's inviting her, and not only her, but the whole people? Jesus presents himself as the bridegroom. He wants her to marry him. He wants us, his church, to come into a nuptial relationship which can never be broken. The people come, just as we come. And it's usually at this point in the Lenten journey that you and I are beginning to weary of the process. The enthusiasm that so marks the beginning of Lent is kind of burning away now. As Lent wears on, we are beginning to wear out. And so what we tend to do is what? The same thing this woman is doing. We go to those things that we usually, that usually help us to take the edge off. Maybe a little cocktail here and there. Nothing wrong with that. Little comfort food, some entertainment. We know what we're talking about here. We've all been here, and it's a vulnerable place to be. Jesus is fully aware of our need. In fact, he allows himself to be hungry and thirsty so that we might thirst for him and hunger for him. And when he says what he says to her, he's saying this to us today. He wants us to be a part of this dynamic, of this grace of God, this gift of God, which can only be received. It cannot be grasped. And that's where she's revealing where she's coming from. Give me it now. Give it to me now. She wants to grasp it, but that's not how it goes. If we grasp it, it becomes just another one of these things that we're trying to manipulate and do with it as we will. It cannot be like that in the relationship that Jesus is offering. He is extending love. This is the giving and the receiving, and the more one gives, then the more one receives. This is how it goes. It must be given away in order to receive. So we are being invited today to hear this word, to discern the areas of our heart. Where in our hearts, what is that area of our heart that we need Jesus to probe and bring healing? To the extent that we are willing to leave our buckets at the foot of the altar, because Jesus is inviting us. He's saying to you and he's saying to me, give me a drink. I have something more for you. I'm not looking for anything from you. I want to give you more than you can ever imagine. He's looking at this woman. He's looking at you and I in a way that no one else has ever looked at us. And it's so inviting. We don't know what to do with it. Well, it's not so much to do anything with it. It's simply to be still and receive the living God. Today, you notice that the call of the gospel is a call of today. The call of the world is a call of tomorrow, next week, next month. Take your time. You got all the time in the world. That's the way the world wants it to be, not Jesus. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now is the very acceptable time. Now is the day. This woman was ready in the here and now moment. She received the word and she was transformed. She went back and evangelized. Jesus, God wants this for all of us. I imagine her like this young man that was assisting me with the Stations of the Cross with the school at 8:30 in the morning. We started the Stations of the Cross on Friday morning of this past week. And he was doing it for the first time. His name was Caden, and he was nervous. He was asking me at certain stations, he said, Father, what are we doing? Well, of course, this was a very great challenge for me. You know, man, we're not the best multitaskers. So I'm trying to focus. And in fact, there was one time, there was a dead silence in the church. It was because I was engaging him. It was my turn to talk. And I hadn't, but the Lord got us through. We made it all the way through. When we got into the sacristy, he said to me, he said, Father, I feel so light. I feel so much better. I said, yes. That's the fruit. That is the fruitfulness of carrying Jesus, of carrying the cross with Jesus, meeting Jesus who comes to us. He was overjoyed. I said, now you have confidence. He said, yes, I know now. Wow, it's so good. This is what attracted those people. We need this gift of God. Many of us have received it already. We've received the Holy Spirit. But what happens? Sometimes we get into the rut and things become stagnant. We become in the mundane of the journey. We're like our ancestors. We complain. Oh, it's always the same thing. But when we allow the Lord to do what he does, what does the Spirit do? It stirs us up. It renews us, giving us that zeal that we had at the beginning. The very beginning. You remember where it was? Think about that. Because now is the time. to be renewed, to finish what the Lord has started. He came to finish the work his Father gave him to do. Eat something, they ask. They tell him, eat? I have already a food you don't know anything about. So let us feed him with what he wants most from us, so that he in turn can feed us with that which the world cannot give. His body, his blood, his soul, his divinity, his never-ending love. God love you.